Welcome to the American Mineralogist audio file of January 2007. I am Rachel Russell, the managing editor, and our February-March issue is a section of special papers on microbeam cathode luminescence, papers that came from a symposium at the 15th Annual Goldschmidt Conference held in Moscow, Idaho in May 2005. My guest today is one of our special section organizers, Ian Coulson, until recently at the University of Regina, in Canada, but now at the University of Tübingen in Germany for a one-year sabbatical. The other special section organizers were Paul Edwards and Martin Lee. Welcome, Ian.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Did I mess up saying University of Tübingen again?
No, that's perfect. Yeah, you think it sounds like Tübingen, but it's actually Tübingen. So
okay.
You said it correctly.
What led you into this area of research?
As a child, I'd always been interested in volcanoes, and once I actually began studying geology as a student, I realized that the crystals you see in volcanic rocks, these large crystals, which are actually called phenocrysts, are often zoned. And actually looking at these zoning can tell you important information about how these things actually grew and formed, and also concerning volcanic eruptions. And basically, my research has led me to look at different techniques of looking at zoning, and cathode luminescence is a great, very useful technique to actually look at differences in zoning, which is often not recognized in other ways. So it's a really helpful tool, especially in igneous rocheology and mineralogy.
Wow. What is the most important advanced concerning this method of investigation?
Bit of a long answer here, but essentially cathode luminescence has been around for a number of decades, used by geologists and mineral physicists. And over the last few years, there's been some important advances, primarily based on improvements in microscope instrumentation, also the software and the computer facilities to actually speed up the process. And now, for example, we've got the ability to collect and record full spectra of cathode luminescence at each single point in a scan using an electron microscope-based CL system. And then we can accumulate a huge amount of data in a multi-dimensional data set, sometimes called a data cube, often called a hyperspectral image. And it's also possible now to collect cathode luminescence imaging at the same time as other techniques, for example, EDS X-ray analysis. Mm-hmm. So we can actually have simultaneous chemical composition luminescence data for every single point of an analysis on a material. So that actually really helps the whole process in terms of speeding it up. Mm-hmm. And one of the principal benefits of using CL is it's very, very sensitive to tiny changes in chemical composition within a mineral, mm-hmm. and also to changes within the crystal structure of that material. And this sensitivity allows us to sort of look at really fine-scale variations within that material. But unfortunately, because it's very, very sensitive, it actually makes understanding the principle behind the cause of luminescence difficult to actually understand. And so hopefully these new techniques and advances will actually allow us to really get a better insight into the whole process of generating luminescence within a material, because that's been very difficult up until recently.
So it's the tiny changes, the sensitivity, that's the key in the technique?
Yes, yeah. So often, for example, and you can see zoning phenomenon with cathode luminescence that you can't see by other methods, because luminescence is very, very sensitive to these small changes within a mineral or a material.
Neat. Where do you think future research in this area should be aimed?
I think we're just beginning now to start to collect and look at different materials simultaneously. I think that's going to be a real benefit in terms of understanding luminescence in materials. And also then we'll be able to actually characterize and identify materials in a whole range of different areas. For example, here's a good thing I found out last year at the Goldschmidt meeting. They're actually FBI. You're actually using cathode luminescence themselves in forensic studies of crime scenes. They're actually looking at different types of duct tape at crime scenes, and each one has a different kind of luminescence signature. And so who knows? Perhaps one of these days in the future, we might see the method of CL used on CSI.
Do you want to tell me about any more about this?
Luminescence in different materials will have a different colour and also a different spectrum throughout the electromagnetic spectrum. So So it'll range from colours from ultraviolet right the way through to red. And so different materials have a slightly different luminescent signature. And that would be a very easy way to recognise different materials by their particular colour or their range and spectrum.
What are you going to investigate next, Ian?
Actually, the planet Mars. It might sound a bit strange, but I'm looking at meteorites from the planet Mars. Last year, I was actually lucky enough to get some material on loan from NASA. They have a program called ANSMET, where they go to Antarctica and collect samples of meteorites. And so one of my colleagues from the Department of Physics and I will use cathode luminescence to actually try and identify some of the materials present in these Martian meteorite samples. Martian meteorites. Yeah, so since we believe that some samples which actually came to Earth as meteorites derive from the planet Mars.
Wow.
And so one of the aims of our study is to look at about how these samples actually got from Mars to the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the surface of Mars has lots of craters from previous impacts, but only one or two craters would be large enough such that the object actually hit Mars was big enough to actually eject material from the surface there to actually come down to planet Earth millions of years later. So that's one of the areas in terms of luminescence we're going to look at.
Thank you so much for helping me put this audio file together. And thank you for listening to this podcast. American Mineralogist articles can be found in Geoscience World, AMMIN.GEOSCIENCE.ORG, or the MSA website. American Mineralogist publishes earth science research articles from mineralogy, geology, crystallography, and many, many other facets of earth and planetary science. American Mineralogist is published by the Mineralogical Society of America, a nonprofit publisher. MSA welcomes tax-deductible donations for the journal, this podcast, or the many programs of the Society. For more information about MSA, check out www.minsocam.org. Check back with each new issue to see if there are new MP3 files. Thank you.